Dear Father, we thank you so much again that we are here today. Father, we do ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would enable us to accept your word this morning, to think deeply upon it, and then act upon it as well. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you heard the news this week, this guy has been in the news. In case you don't know, he is Israel Folau, a Christian guy, and he posted something on Instagram that has caused quite a disturbance. And in it, he says certain kinds of people are going to hell, people like adulterers, liars, thieves, etc. And with it, though, there's a call to repent, to turn from that way of living, and to turn to Jesus who saves. Now, it's caused quite a lot of response. And when he says certain kinds of people are going to hell, he was basically quoting this verse from the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, which says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, the post that Israel Folau put on Instagram, it said that homosexuals are condemned to hell. 1 Corinthians 6 says it's only those who practice that homosexual lifestyle are condemned. That would be the only correction I would make to that post. Adulterers, the greedy, etc., won't inherit the kingdom of God. They are going to hell. And it was, that post was put actually as a warning. Turn from that life, those lifestyles. And Jesus is the only one who can be saved. Now, having said that, I'm not sure putting a post on Instagram is the best way to communicate that message. The hope of Jesus can easily be lost in a message like that, and I think it generally was. It's fairly impersonal, and that message can be lost. And lots of people have accused him of being homophobic and the like. Now, this morning we're looking at parts of Romans chapter 2 and chapter 3. And what we're going to see is this, that this passage is more darker and more stronger against humanity than that post that Israel Folau put up. If we were offended by that, wait till you hear what Romans 2 and 3 says. And as we hear it, we'll see why we need and desperately need salvation. Hear the word of God from Romans 3, verses 9 to 20. "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better off? Not at all. For we already made the case, already made the charge, that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. And their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be justified or declared righteous in the sight of God by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. That's Romans 3, 9 to 20. Now, back in the mid-80s, I did a one-year course in psychology. And part of that course was there was a lesson on hypnosis. And the teacher said, if you want to be, you can be hypnotized in the class today. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. And now, I actually went under hypnosis, but nothing strange happened. I didn't go around like a chicken or barking like a dog or anything like that. It was all pretty tame, really. I went under hypnosis, and those who were under, all we did was, all that happened was our hand went up. But it went up under hypnosis. So we were under the control of the hypnotist, but only to a slight degree, you might say. Well, in this passage today, it says that everybody who's not a Christian is under the complete control of a power, if you like. Have a look at verse 9 of Romans chapter 3, page 1711. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all. For we already have made the charge that Jews and Gentile alike are what? Under the power of sin. Under the power of sin. Now, the we there is talking about the Jews. Do we have any advantage? That is Paul the Apostle, who's a Jew, and the other Jews who are reading this or might hear about it. Do they have any advantage over the Gentiles, the non-Jews? And the passage says, no, not at all. See, everybody, no matter their background, Jew or Gentile, are under the power of sin. I was kind of under the power of the hypnotist. But when it comes to sin, everybody is under its power. And this really summarizes Romans 1:18 to chapter 3, verse 8. And this is the third reason why we need salvation. Romans 1 talked about the gospel is God's power to save. Why do we need a salvation? 2 weeks ago we talked about the wrath of God is being revealed now. That's one reason. Second reason was last week. God's righteous judgment will be revealed at the end. And this is the third reason. Really a summary reason. We are all under the power of sin. Well, before turning to Christ, we were. And everybody who hasn't turned to Christ is still under the power of sin. But what does that look like? And is that true? So what does that mean? Verses 10 to 12 describe that for us. And here are these verses written with a group of people behind. That's to represent everybody. And as it says, as it is written, as in the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, there is no one righteous, not even one. No one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Together become worthless. No one who does good, not even one. Now these verses here, from verse 10 onward, begin a whole series of quotes from the Old Testament, partly from Psalm we had in our reading before, and other parts of the Old Testament as well. It's like a string of pearls. Paul the Apostle is justifying his statement. He says, look what the Scripture says, the Word of God says. There is no one righteous. And notice all the times it says no one, not even one. See, no one there, no one righteous, not even one, no one who understands, no one seeks God, all together, no one, not even one. This is shouting at us, dear brothers and sisters, no one is righteous. Don't miss the point. That's why it's repeated. Whenever there's repetition in Scripture, it is saying to us, don't miss it. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't miss this today. There is no one righteous, not even one. And a summary of all that is the statement, all have turned away. That's really the heart of sin, turning away from God. Going our own way, rejecting the Creator and going our own way. Now, I wonder, have you ever had a cup of coffee like that? What's wrong with that cup of coffee? That's right, the milk that's been poured in has gone off, perhaps from a milk container like that. Now, sometimes I smell milk, I can smell milk and think, I don't know, put it in, oh, no, it's bad. I think even I wouldn't pour in milk from that bottle. That statement there in Romans 3 where it says they have become worthless carries the idea of milk that's gone off. So when we turn away from God, we begin to stink. We go off. Not off in a good way, but a bad way. We are then fit for nothing. No good. We're worthless. In and of ourselves, we stink. That's what the passage is saying. That's what we were like before we had turned to Christ. That's what every non-Christian is like. They've turned away from God and they stink. Think of Fred, your non-Christian neighbor. He's turned away from God. He stinks. Carol, your non-Christian workmate, turned away from God. They're not righteous. Nick, your non-Christian brother, doesn't know Jesus. He's not righteous. Tracy, your nice non-Christian friend, she's turned away from God. She's not righteous. All the people you live with who aren't Christians, they stink. You might say, well, they do stink, but if they're not Christians, they, in a spiritual sense, they stink. If they're not a Christian. All the people in your street, your family members that you'll see perhaps over Easter who aren't Christians, they're not righteous in and of themselves. The people across there at Eagle Vale Marketplace this morning, if they're not Christians, they're not righteous. Playing sport, the people that catch your bus tomorrow morning to work who aren't Christians, they're not righteous. Those you'll catch the train with tomorrow, those you might go to a football game with who aren't Christians, they stink in God's sight. Everybody in our suburbs around here is not righteous. The suburb, the state, the country, the world. Now, it's been estimated that there's been 108 billion people that have lived on this earth. And not one of them, in and of themselves, are righteous or have been righteous. And at the moment, there's an estimate of 7.5 billion people in our world. And no one is righteous. None of them seek God, all under the power of sin. That's our world. But what does that look like in practice? How do we see people? What do they do if they've turned away from God or because they've turned away from God. We see this in verses 13 to 18. And I've called this the anatomy of sin. Notice the body parts that are mentioned here. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their, where? Lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. See the progression from the throat to the tongue to the lips to the whole mouth? Their throats are open graves. Now, I've never been to an open grave site, but it would stink. The words that come from non-Christians stink. Their lips practice deceit. The poison of vipers on their lips, like things that can be said, can be very harmful, can't they? Can be like a snake bite. That's what happens. Cursing and bitterness as well. And it's always the case that what we say reveals our heart, doesn't it? Non-Christians who've turned away from God, what they say will reflect their heart. And it's not just words which reflect our heart. It's not just words that reflect we've turned away from God. It's actions as well. Notice here, the anatomy lesson continues, if you like. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. The way of peace they don't know. Now, according to a historian Will Durant, in 3,421 years of recorded history, only 268 have been without any kind of war. That's not much of a percentage without war, is it? We are swift to shed blood. Humanity is very quick to be violent. We see it if you've got children or no children, and that's always the same. Like, if you feel you've been robbed or you feel you've been hurt, you are swift to fight back, aren't we? Not just children, of course. Today, as we've been reminded, is Palm Sunday. People cheering Jesus, but in less than a week, as Kathy helpfully reminded us, they'd be jeering Jesus. They'd be swift to shed blood. Both Jew and Gentile, swift to shed blood. In less than a week, Jesus would be dead. And this section then has a summary, again using a body part to emphasize it. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Again, our eyes reflect our soul, don't they? Our eyes show what's going on in our heart. And for non-Christians, there's no reverence for God, no respect for God, their Creator. They don't glorify God or give thanks to Him. People have turned their eyes off their Creator. They've exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. They've exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator. Romans chapter 1. And so that's our world, isn't it? So we mustn't be surprised when we hear the news or turn on the news that we hear about all kinds of violence and problems. Mustn't be surprised if there's problems like that in our families. Mustn't be surprised, for example, if you're part of a sporting group or a mother's group, that gossip and lies go on. And sometimes what people say can be very vile and hurtful, can't it? Sometimes what we can say can do the same. We mustn't be surprised at the chaos there is. It stems back to the heart problem of humanity. Or some people call it the depravity, the total depravity of humanity. No one understands. No one seeks God. And it's everyone. That's how we're born. Everybody is under the power of sin. What's the conclusion of all this? Look at verse 19. Now, whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. That is talking about that all of us, because we were all under the law. If we're from a Jewish background, we have God's written law. If we're from a Gentile background, probably most of us, we have God's law written on our hearts, like we know what we should do, but we don't, as we talked about like that last week. And the law tells us, the word of God tells us, there's no one who's righteous, not even one. We might protest, hey, we aren't that bad. No, the word of God says no one is righteous, no one seeks God. It's not saying that non-Christians can't do a good thing here or there, but no one seeks God completely in and of themselves. And the law also tells us that we're accountable to God. One day we're going to have to explain our actions to God, which means by ourselves and everybody else by themselves is doomed. And verse 20 makes that conclusion for us. Look at verse 20. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. See, no one in the end will be declared righteous by God because no one is in and of themselves. No one totally obeys the law. No one does the works of the law. That's true for the Jew who has God's written law. True for the Gentile who has the law on their heart. Nobody totally obeys the law. They don't understand. They don't seek God. They've turned away. So no one in the end will be declared righteous in God's sight because no one is. We are all under the power of sin, under judgment now and judgment in the future. In and of ourselves, and other people in and of themselves are doomed. We've got to get this so we understand why we need a salvation. And can you see how this is an even stronger and darker message about people than that Israel Folau post? It's saying all under the power of sin. No one, Jew or Gentile, is righteous. No one, whatever their sexual orientation, is righteous. The heterosexual, the homosexual, the transgender, the lesbian, the queer. No one in and of themselves is righteous. Young person, old person, no one is righteous. Poor person, rich person, no one is righteous. White person, black person, yellow person, brown person, no one is righteous in and of themselves. So in the end, no one, come judgment day, will be declared righteous. See, it is not just the liars, the adulterers, the drunks, the homosexuals will be condemned. Everybody, the heterosexuals will be condemned because no one seeks God. All have turned away. And dear brothers and sisters, that is what was facing us. That is what is still facing non-Christian people. Come judgment day, they will be condemned. Whatever their background, whatever their orientation, no one in and of themselves will be declared righteous, because no one is. But let's not forget where we've come from in Romans so far. Let's not forget Romans 1:16, which says, the gospel is powerful to save anyone, Jew or Gentile, to save those who believe. And what we've had here, though, is the apostle telling us, God telling us, how desperately we need that salvation. The gospel is very powerful to save. How does that work? How does that happen? Come back on Friday morning and we'll talk about the next six verses in Romans 3, which some people described as the most amazing verses in the whole Bible. But before we hear God's yes to us in Jesus, we've got to feel the weight of his no to us because of sin, because of our sin. All under the power of sin, no one righteous in and of themselves. No one declared righteous in the end. How could we be? How could God do that and be right? Here's a picture of a diamond. That looks pretty good, doesn't it? And what I think looks even better is that. What makes it better, do you think? Well, it's not quite the same diamond, I don't think. But I think the black background helps bring it out. When there's a big contrast going on, it brings out the beauty of the diamond more. That's what we've been seeing here in Romans so far. We've got the beauty of the powerful gospel that can save, but we only see how beautiful that is against the background of the darkness of sin. And so it is purposefully black as we finish. We all, Jew and Gentile, are under the power of sin. There is no one righteous, not even one. That's what we were like. That's what every non-Christian you know is. We must see that's what we were like and how others are like, understand that before we see the beauty and the magnificence of the salvation that we have. Let us pray. Dear Father, we pray that we'll have an honest assessment of what we were like, or may still be like if we haven't turned to Jesus. Give us an honest understanding and assessment of what non-Christians are like under the power of sin, facing your just judgment. Help us to get that so we understand more and more the wonder of what Jesus has done. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.